Maybe we'll fill the building to a point that the choir will need to stay up there. That'd be good. It's not how many we can get in the building, it's how many we're going to take with us when we leave. And so we want to be working on that. Did y'all know the time changed last night? We didn't. Or at least we didn't. We never got hold of it. We got here and couldn't understand why everybody got to church so early. But we was about an hour late. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke 17, one of my favorite passages in the Scripture. Is this passage on the 10 lepers. In gratitude, or where are the 9? We live in a society of great privilege. Most of us wouldn't know what it would be like to be hungry or to be poor. I hear folks talking about being poor and being raised poor, and I was raised poor and according to American standards. But when you go to Haiti or some third world country, you discover that you were rich even at your poor place, poor stage, that you were rich. This ingratitude, I believe that can reach down and touch us no matter what our situation is. But the Lord has used an illustration of the most horrible disease that you could possibly have and be healed from that and not show any gratitude for it. I wonder about our own lives and what God has done in our lives, how He's touched us and how He's blessed our family and what He's given us, and our gratitude toward the Lord for that. How do we express that gratitude toward Him? How is it that we can kind of forget what God has done in our life and in our family's life and what He's given us? How is it that we could just take for granted our wife or our children, our grandchildren, and not think too much about it, not, just figure I deserve this, or everyone around me has the same thing, so there's no need of me giving gratitude to the Lord or anyone else for what God has given us. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke 17, and let's begin reading with verse 11, if you would stand with me, and we'll start reading there. I'll read it as you follow along. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem. I think that it'd be a good Bible study for any of us to notice how that Jesus did the things that he did as he went. He was on his way somewhere else when he performed all the miracles. When things happened in his life where he touched other people's lives, he was just simply on his way somewhere else. It was just life. It was just life. And it is for us also. And he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now, you know a little bit about Samaria, and you know that the Jews didn't have any dealings with the Samaritans, and this was a crossbreed that they didn't want to have anything to do with. So he comes and he enters into a certain village there, and he met him 10 men that were lepers, and they stood afar off. That was the law. They stood afar off because that was the law. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priest. Now, is that not a strange command? You know, Jesus healed people in different ways. Here, that was the law. When you were healed of leprosy, the priest was the one that said you were healed. These were lepers. And Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And it came to pass that, now I want you to pay very close attention here. I think this is such a significant part of this story. As they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, just one, one of them, there was 10, remember, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They're not found that returned and given glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Now look closely. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Father, we thank you and praise you for the day you've given us. And Lord, we couldn't even think about being able to name. We'd spend the rest of our days talking about your blessings in our lives and how you've blessed us and touched us and your will and your healing and so many lives. Here, many people could stand to their feet even now and say, God has healed me. God's healed me of this and he's touched me about that and he's given me this. And Lord, we're grateful today. Help us to show gratitude. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Webster describes ingratitude this way. It's a lack of gratitude, insensibility to, or ill return for kindness. I want us to look first of all at the condition of the lepers. They were rejected by society, destined to live a life of solitude, not by his own choosing, but because of the disease. Now, I haven't in quite a while read anything by Max Lucado, but he can sure put words in pictures for you in so many ways. And in one of his books, he gives a heart-wrenching illustration of the leper. How he discovered that he was a leper. He began to not be able to feel things with his fingers, and he'd cut himself and not realize he had cut his hand. And his wife had packed him a small bag of essentials, and he made his way to the priest, and the priest pronounced him unclean. And he left his wife and his family from a distance because he was destined then to be at a distance from them. So when we think about that and think of this leper who was healed, what a dramatic difference it would have made in his life to be in a leper colony or group, and then be pronounced clean, where he would be able to return to his family and return to his job and return to his friends and be able to have life back like it was before the leprosy. Verse 11 tells us that he was one of the communities of Samaria. Luke is good to give the geographical location of where they were. So they were in a downcast place to start with. And then they meet the 10 lepers. In verse 18, Jesus calls him a stranger. Have you noticed that the Lord, when he's given most of the illustrations in the scripture, matter of fact, when the man was injured on the road, when he was taken by robbers and he was hurt and he was on the side of the road, a priest came by, a religious leader came by, but who was it that helped him? The Samaritan. Franklin Graham has called his organization the Samaritan's Purse, the one that goes beyond and helps beyond. Leprosy in the scripture is a good example of lostness. Look with me at the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, the second chapter, and look at verse 12. Who is the person who is lost? Who is this person that has not come to this place where the Holy Spirit of God has dealt with their heart? And I believe that that happens at a young age. The Spirit begins to deal with children, and it begins to deal with their heart. And sometimes they'll put it off and put it off, or the parents will put it off. And he begins to deal with people as a teenager, and then he and as adults. I was working on a job with a man that was probably older than I am now. I don't know, but he never had made a decision to accept Christ as his Savior, and he went to church on a regular basis. His wife played the piano in the church. He went almost every Sunday, and he had never made a decision for Christ. And I asked him about that, and he said, "I don't have that desire. I never feel the need to do that." And he said, "Don't you think that if a person is going to make a decision like that, that he should feel that need in his own life to make it?" I said, "Yes, I think you'd have to. There'd have to be the conviction of the Holy Spirit before a person could be saved." And then I asked him another question. I said, "Have you ever felt that?" And I could see his eyes going back and forth, and he was thinking back through the years, and he said, "I used to. There was a time I did." This gives, in Ephesians, it gives the lostness of humanity, the lostness of the lost. That's what makes our job so important as a church, as Christians, that we take as many with us as we possibly can. That at that time, now, most of your, I don't know about that, but many of your translations will use the word, here the King James uses ye. In our English speaking, we would say you, and that's what it means, you. And you, or me, you. And at that time, you. And at that time, you. He's talking about the person at the time that they were lost. When I was lost, when you were lost, when we were without Christ in our life. And at that time, you were without Christ. Now look at the words that he uses. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And yet you never go to a funeral where the preacher preaches that the man is lost. He can be a drug addict or alcoholic. He can beat his wife and molest his children. And at the time of his funeral, nobody figures he's lost. Well, I'll tell you, we're making a tragic, tragic mistake. Because hell is filled with people who have rejected Christ as their personal Savior. And it seems to me like hell is deserving, or those folks are deserving of hell. But I'm telling you, dear friend, the very worst place in the world that you could go to hell from would be a pew in a Baptist church. Amen. Where you've heard the gospel preached every Sunday morning. Without hope. And the leper was without hope. Now we'll get to a great part of this passage in Luke 17. As they went, verse 14 of Luke 17, as they went. So faith, no matter what is going on in your life, faith is as you go. Do you and I think that, well, we'll start working for the Lord when He gives us the faith to? We'll start doing things for God when He gives us the faith to. We'll start putting in the offering plate when He gives us the faith to. We'll start living for Him when He gives us the faith to do that. Well, faith is as you go. Romans tells us it's from faith to faith. In other words, when I trust the Lord in something, and I take a step of faith, and I don't have the wherewithal to do that. In other words, it's not in the bank account. It's not in me to be able to do it. But I take a step toward it anyway. I move toward it anyway. That's faith. It's from faith to faith. There is so many things in the Christian life that I don't feel qualified for. I mean, I feel like that I fail miserably as a husband, as a father, as a grandpa to my grandchildren. But it has to be from faith to faith. I mean, I have to take steps to go to that place that I feel like that God wants me to. So I take steps to do that. That's exactly what you and I are called to do as followers of Jesus. Let's look at Ephesians, the fourth chapter. These Bible drillers, they'd have it a long time before we got there. Look at verse 22 with me. That you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. What does that mean? Now I know that's the King James, not the old King James, but that's King James speaking. That we put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. As if I would put on a garment or take off a garment. I take it off. I don't put it on. I take it off. I take off that old man and I put on the new man. I've been changed. I've made a volitional decision to follow Christ. I've put my trust in Him. I have vowed to be a better husband, a better father, a better grandpa. I still look the same. I still feel the same. But it's as I go that I discover that I'm changed. Do you see it? As I go, I discover that I'm changed. As I go, I discover that I'm changed. Then finally, number three, where are the nine? Now Jesus took note that only one returned to give praise. We would think that everyone who would pray would also praise. But that's not the case. It's not always the case. Matthew Henry, the famous commentary writer, was robbed, and he found a way to praise through that. And this is how he was able to handle that and put it into a form of praise instead of it being the awfulest thing that could possibly have happened to him. He was thankful that they just took his money and didn't take his life. He was thankful that he was the one being robbed and not the robber. And he lists several things. He was thankful that what they did take didn't amount to much. His wallet probably looked like mine most of the time. I want us to end up by looking at this leper that came back. There's some characters in the Bible that I really like. And I don't know, they just really catch my attention, and I just like them. I want to be around them. I think that when we get to heaven, I'd try to look these guys up. Zacchaeus is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I can identify with him. And I could just go on and on. But I'm telling you, this tenth leper is a favorite of mine. You see, Jesus said to him, "Your faith has made you well." I don't believe that because the others didn't come back, I don't believe that their leprosy came back. I think they were healed. I think God heals people all the time that don't come back. And they're healed. Really, I think that God's hand of blessing is on a lot of people's families and their lives that don't come back. But now this guy came back. But see, he got a double blessing. He got a double blessing because not only did he get his leprosy healed. Are you catching it? Not only did he get his leprosy healed, his body healed, he got his heart healed. He got his heart healed. Because that's where the change really is. If those other lepers died without Christ as their Savior, they spent eternity in hell. But this man got healed not only of the leprosy, but he got healed for eternity. Let's stand together. Our musicians are going to come, and Brother Matt's going to come and lead us in a verse of invitation. If you're here today and lost, you have not received Christ as your Savior, would you come today and make that decision for Christ? Would you accept Him today?